Larry, let's give them both a great welcome, Brother Larry and Sister Angela Keaton. Amen.
Team, I was so on fire for God when I got saved. I was a drug dealer and a drug addict for 13 years, and then God sent me to the Rhema Bible Training Center, and I married one of my instructors. Let me just say, is anyone here this morning that's a visitor? Any visitors in the house? First-timers. Okay, well, good. I just want to tell you, if you didn't like what I preached, don't let that affect you. You can come back. We're only going to be here until Tuesday morning. Let me ask you, have I got any football fans here? A few. Now, my wife, see, she's a diehard fan, Ole Miss fan. I'm an Alabama fan. Congratulations, you guys. You whooped us good last year. But let me ask you, those of you that are football fans or sport fans, would you leave the football game in the first quarter?
No.
Huh?
No.
Why? Because you wanted to get the whole benefit of the game, right? So why would you come on Sunday morning and not come the other three services?
Amen.
If I step on some toes this morning, I'll have a prayer line for you. You know, we used to pastor, but thank God we got delivered. And, you know, we can be bold and say things that the pastor can't say anymore. But, you know, I'll be nice this morning. We always enjoy coming back here. We love and respect your pastor, and we just always have good services here. We're just, why? Because you guys put a demand on the gifts.
Yes.
Like Pastor said, we lived 18 years in Eastern Europe. We started going in 89, shortly after the wall fell. And it just broke our hearts to see the people over there. I mean, they did not have the freedom that we have here in America. And we're the only ones that can protect that.
Right.
Come on, y'all.
That's right.
I might preach a whole new sermon this morning. Y'all forget those notes, knowing. Father, we love you so much and we praise you. We thank you in advance for all that's going to be said and done these four services. And thank you, Father. You said you'd put your words in my mouth. You said that you would give me boldness to preach your word and that you'd stretch forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders would be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And we're careful to give you all the glory and honor for everything, Father. We're so thankful. Thank you for this congregation, Father. I thank you that they have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say in these four services, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you and we praise you. We just thank you, Father. We had the ability to give you praise and honor and glory this morning, but we do the same thing with our reverence, Father. And when we hear the word, we become doers of the word because you said it's the doers of the word that's blessed. So we thank you for all of these things in Jesus' precious name, and all the saints said,
amen.
I want to talk to you this morning about power evangelism. Power evangelism. I believe the church was born in the fire, and I believe we're going to end up in the fire. I can't believe, because God said the latter house, that's us, would be greater than the former house. God said the latter rain would be greater than the former rain. So if you look at the book of Acts, and I believe that's the pattern of the church. Born again, spirit filled, on fire for God, ready to go out and take their world. You know, even the government officials were afraid of those crazy charismatics and Pentecostals. Well, actually, they started out as Pentecostals. Yeah, the day of Pentecost, they were afraid of them. And they were told not to preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. And what did they say? What are we going to do, believe you or believe God? Are we going to obey you or obey God? No, let's obey God. Because if we obey God, God will confirm his word with signs following. You know, thank God you're in a good church. You're not going to get milk toast. You're not going to get Reader's Digest here. Amen. You get the Word and the Spirit.
Yes.
That's why we love to come here. I mean, he always tells us, y'all just go wide open. So I'm going to get wide open on you this morning. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that of not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." What's the gift of God? I'm glad you asked. Both of them.
Yeah.
Grace and faith. Grace. Grace is God's grip on us, and faith is our grip on God. Faith always receives what grace has provided. Thank God for what he did for us. Let me just ask you, how many of you in here are saved by raising your hand? Well, good. I think that's everybody. You know, you've already received the greatest miracle that God, with your faith, you've already received the greatest miracle that God's ever provided. I mean, you were headed one way and you came in contact with Jesus in some form or fashion, and that word changed you and you did a 180. That's what repent means. You turned from your ways. You were a child of darkness, and when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now you're a child of the light. A righteous one. You know, we're not old sinners saved by grace. We were old sinners, and we were saved by grace, but now we are the righteousness of God. His blood made us righteous, in right standing with God. So I want to talk to you about four different things today. You know, it's time for us to take this faith that God has given us and quit using it so much on ourselves. You know, for many, many years, thank God for Brother Hagin and those that went before him, Smith Wigglesworth, those that taught faith. And you know, God has allowed us to learn faith selfishly. How to get ourselves healed. How to get ourselves prospered. How to get ourselves delivered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me just take a moment here. Could I ask you to close your eyes? I want to ask the question, and if this is you, I want you to raise your hand. If you're here this morning and you've been tormented by fear, I'd ask you to raise your hand. Anyone else? I'm going to look all across the... I see those hands. Now, in Jesus' name, I break the power of that fear. God didn't give you that spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, the Father revealed that to me. Now, spirit of fear, leave these people. You have no right in their life. You have to go. God didn't give them that spirit of fear, but he gave them a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I thank you. They're free. They're free. Everybody say, I'm free from fear in Jesus' name. So where was I? So it's by grace that we've been saved through faith. And God has allowed us to learn how to use that faith. But it's time for the church to grow up and step into the place that the blood of Jesus has provided for us and act like sons and daughters of Almighty God and start using that faith outwardly to the world. I want to talk to you about power evangelism. How to use this faith, this awesome faith, this mountain-moving faith that God has given us, but let's use it on the world, on the lost. Amen? So there's four areas I'm going to talk to you about. And that's who has faith. What kind of faith is it? How does this faith come? And then most of all, how we can use this faith outwardly toward others. So we've already looked at Ephesians 2:8. Let's look at Romans 12:3. He says, "For I say, through the grace given to me..." Here again he talks about grace.
Yeah.
You know, grace is not the right to sin.
Right.
Grace is the ability to walk free of sin. Come on now. And you know, 1 John 1:9 is still for the church. And that's all I got to say about that. But anyway, he says, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt or given to each one a measure of faith. See, when you heard about Jesus, when you heard about what he did, and you believed in your heart, and you confessed with your mouth, you used that mountain-moving faith to remove the sin out of your life and become a righteous child of Almighty God. Like I said, you used that faith to receive the greatest miracle God's ever provided. We don't have to go to hell anymore. Amen. We don't have to live under guilt and condemnation anymore. We don't have to live under fear anymore. We don't have to be poor no more either. But you know, prosperity does have a purpose. And that's to preach the gospel. God loves, doesn't want us to, God is not opposed of us having things. He just doesn't want the things to have us. Amen. So, we have faith. From these two scriptures, we saw that we have faith, right? So say, I have faith.
I have faith.
So now let's look at what kind of faith is it. Mark 11:22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. But really, if you study that out in the Greek, he says have the God kind of faith. Now let me ask you, would Jesus tell us to have something that wasn't possible to have? And then he goes on and he gives us an example of mountain-moving faith. He says, if you'll say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and doubt not in your heart, but believe the things you say, believe the things you say. You know, you can't be a liar and have what you say. Because you got to believe the things you say will come to pass. Then he says you'll have what you say. We were talking about that yesterday. People saying what? Just saying things. Don't know. They don't understand this faith message. And they say things and they create their future. Well, that's another message for another time. But he said, have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. See, it couldn't be any other kind of faith. Because if faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, it couldn't be any other kind of faith. And he told us to have it, and we've got it. I said, we've got it. I said, we got it. You ought to say that. Say, I've got the God kind of faith. And then Paul, talking to the church at Corinth, Christians, believers, in 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, and since we have... And now let me ask you, is that past, present, and future tense?
Present.
He said, we have the same, not a different spirit of faith, not a lesser spirit of faith. He said, we have the same spirit of faith. The same spirit of faith that Jesus had. You know, Jesus operated in faith. He was the Son of God, but he had to operate in faith just like we have to operate in faith. Jesus had to operate under the anointing just like we have to operate in the, under the anointing. You know, Jesus didn't ever do any mighty miracles until he was baptized in the River Jordan and the Holy Ghost came upon him. And when he came out of that water in Luke 4:18, he began to proclaim what he was called to do. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me. You're anointed.
Amen.
Come on. If you're a Christian, you not only have the anointing in you, and when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get a double dose of that spizzarinkum.
Yeah.
Like Brother Hagin used to say. A double dose. He's not only in you, but he comes upon you.
Yeah.
Well, that's another lesson. Y'all drawing me off in so many different directions this morning. Somebody needed it. We have the same spirit of faith. Now remember that. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. Peter, writing to the saints, the believers, the Christians, in 2 Peter 1, he said, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ to those who have obtained. Now let me ask you, is that past, present, or future? That's past. We have obtained it. When we got born again, we did obtain the God kind of faith. Having obtained like precious faith. Now he said the same spirit, the same kind of faith. Here he says like present faith, precious faith with us by righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Polish Bible says faith of the same value. Not a lesser value, come on. You know, sometimes in our stinking thinking, we think that Jesus operated in a different kind of faith, a higher form of faith than we did, and it's not true. The same faith that Jesus raised the dead with, the same faith that Jesus opened blind eyes and deaf ears with, we've got that kind of faith. It's a God kind of faith. There's only one kind of faith, and it's God's faith. We just got to get rid of our stinking thinking. We got to get rid of this mountain up here between our ears. Man, I'm going to take a little side journey. You know, I was a drug dealer and a drug addict. But on July 6, 1983, this old boy got set free. And I had to get rid of this mountain between my ears. I spoke to it just like Jesus said in Mark 11, 23. I spoke to it. I renewed my mind with the Word of God. I washed out all that garbage that I'd been programmed with all my life. That's the only way you can be a victorious Christian. No, I believe I ministered on renewing your mind last time I was here. That's another lesson for another time. But Paul wrote, and he said, present tense, faith. And Peter wrote, and he said, we have obtained. You know, under the old covenant, they believed a promise. Under the new covenant, where we are established in faith of something that's already taken place. Amen? An established truth. So, we've seen so far that we have faith. Say, I have faith. And we've seen the kind of faith we have is the God kind of faith. Say, I have the God kind of faith.
I have the God kind of faith.
So how did we get that? Well, I knew you were going to ask. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We'll look at that again. We started. He said, and since we have the same spirit of faith, how? According to what is written. See, in the Word of God, it's like a seed. Now, if I take an apple seed and I plant it in the ground, can I have a peach tree?
No.
You take an apple seed, you plant an apple seed in the ground, you're going to get an apple tree, and it produces apples, right? So we have that same spirit of faith, the God kind of faith. According to what is written, when we hear something, that gives us the ability to receive what is in that seed, that Word of God. Amen? So he said, I believe, therefore I spoke. See, you know, your face not working if your mouth's not moving. Come on. I said, your faith is not working if your mouth's not moving. And especially now, like the pastor was saying, all these politics and stuff going on, our mouth needs to be moving in prayer and move out all of these that want to bring in this junk.
Amen.
You know, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Amen.
And they're trying to force that down our throats and tell us that we need to be accepting this. No, if it's God's word, we accept it. If it's not, we don't. That doesn't mean we hate those people, and because we're the only hope for those kinds of people. Come on. Love them enough to tell them the truth. Amen. That's what I used to tell our folks in the Czech Republic and Poland. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And if you can show me in the Word of God where I've been teaching something wrong, I'm going to change. But if you can't show me two or three scriptures in the Word of God, you've got to change. So that's what the pastor's here for, to get you to change your mind. Because you listen to Communist News Network, I mean CNN, and they'll program you. But you come to church and you get reprogrammed with the Word of God. And you ought to not be just coming to church. You need to be studying on your own. Come on now, I should have got a better amen on that. You should be studying on your own. Because there's a lot of folks preaching stuff out there that just ain't Bible. And that's all I got to say about that. I'll be nice. Romans 10:17. So we're not sure where faith comes from, but we just pray and ask God. Huh? We'll pray and ask Jesus to give us faith. No, how does faith come? By hearing. And hearing. And hearing. And hearing. And hearing. Like I said, you know, you wouldn't go to a football game and just leave after the first quarter. You have special meetings, you ought to be in all four of them. I mean, the pastor has to put out money to get us here and to keep us here. You know, it costs money. And it's your money if you tithe. And if you're not tither, come up here and get saved and we'll settle the issue. That's what I used to tell my people. If you can't tithe and you obey the Bible, come get saved and we'll settle that issue. You won't have any problem tithing anymore. So, we've seen that we have faith. Say, I have faith. And we found out that it's the God kind of faith. Say, I have the God kind of faith. And the kind of faith we have comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. Say, I have the faith of God because I hear and hear God's Word. Let me just go back just a moment. He didn't say faith comes by having heard. Well, I heard that before. Oh, man. In Bible school, Dad Hagin, get up. And I know this must have been the 50th time. He said, open your Bibles to Mark 11:23. And somebody behind me, I've heard that before. I had to exercise great love not to turn around and slap them. But anyway, I didn't. But anyway, so it's time for us to use this God-given faith outwardly. Now, don't stop using it to get yourself healed and get yourself prospered and get your, stay delivered. Now, let's continue to use our faith. You know what? I used to be a bodybuilder. And as long as I lifted those weights on a regular basis, my muscles weren't sore unless I really pushed it. But if I would relax, I mean, if I were to go back now to the routine that I used to be in, I wouldn't be able to walk for 2 weeks. You know, I used to have a big chest, but now my chest dropped to my drawers. Well, I keep knocking that off. Anyway, so what can we do with this kind of faith that God has given us? Healings and miracles. Power evangelism. I believe we should use this God-given faith for power evangelism. That's what the early church. You know how the early church grew? The believers took Jesus' command and went out into the world. They didn't stay. They went. You know, the only time the Bible tells us to tarry was in Jerusalem to get the Holy Ghost, but now the Holy Ghost is poured out, so we ought to be going all the time. I said, we ought to be going all the time. Well, where am I supposed to go, Brother Larry? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to your neighbor. Go to a store. Anywhere you encounter people, especially if they're sick, You can use this faith that God has given you. And you don't even have to have the gifts of the Spirit in operation. You know, Brother Hagin was getting people healed before he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Just because God raised him up off the deathbed on Mark 11:23 on just faith. Glory be to God. So turn with me to Mark 16. This is called the Great Commission. I like to say the Great Go Mission. You know, when I was in the army and I was given a command and I didn't do what I was commanded, guess what? I'd have to pay the consequences. Thank God, the body of Christ, the army of God, is not like that. God loves us and he doesn't put us in jail when we don't obey. But the devil does. Come on now. I said the devil does. If you don't take what you learn in here and what you hear other preachers, you don't put it to work. We don't even need the devil. You know, he said, if you're a doer of the word and not a, and if you're a hearer and not a doer, what happens? You deceive yourself. So it's really dangerous to be in a church like this. It is. You hear the word, don't put it into practice. You deceive yourself. That's what the Bible said. I didn't write that. So Mark 16, verse 15. He said, go. That's all we need to know. Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. See, I don't know about you, but I created a living hell for myself. And somebody just like you, a supernatural Christian just like you, I may have given my testimony or bits and pieces of it, but a guy I used to sell drugs with, we got separated for a while, and we came back together, and he loved me enough. Because he had got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and learned the Word of God. And he showed me scriptures. How much God loved me, how much God would deliver me, how much God would heal me, how much God would fill me with the Holy Ghost, how much God wanted a good life for me. And it set me free. I had created a hell for myself, in and out of the penitentiary, and was destined to go back there. And because of that supernatural believer sharing the word of God with me, got me free, and God showed me how to stay free. And not only how to have things for myself, but how to use this faith in an outward expression to a lost and dying world. God loves the prostitutes and the drug dealers and the homosexuals and the lesbians and all these people that we're not so nice to. God loves them. And the only hope for them is the same hope that we got.
That's right.
It's the Word of God. God doesn't want those people to be bound. God didn't want me to be bound.
Amen.
But I had my way for so many years until I came in contact with the truth of God's Word. And it set me free and it's kept me free. So he said in verse 17, and these signs shall follow the believers. You know, a lot of Christians will go to this meeting to see the signs and wonders, and then they'll go over here to see the signs and wonders, and over here to see the signs and wonders, and that's good, because we can get impartations and we can learn more from the Word of God. But don't neglect your church.
Amen.
Hello. I said, don't neglect your church where God has planted you.
Amen.
But really, we ought to not be following the signs, the five signs, because we're believers, ought to be following us.
Amen.
Come on now.
Yes.
Is there an empty chair close by you?
Yep.
Huh? You know whose responsibility is to fill that chair? It's yours. I'm going to take a little side journey. But Ephesians 4:8, it says that Jesus ascended on high and he gave gifts to men. Verse 11, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? I'm glad you asked. For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, for the educating of the saints. So the saints can do the work of the ministry to the edifying of the body of Christ or to the adding to the body of Christ. It's our responsibility as ministers to fill the pulpit. It's your responsibility to fill the chairs. And you can do it with what I'm preaching this morning. I said you can do it with what I'm preaching this morning. There's no reason for them to be in any empty chairs. And a pastor told us yesterday there's more chairs. Hello? There's more chairs. And it's not that we just like to preach to a lot of people. It's just that because God loves these empty chairs and he wants them to be filled with people that are hungry just like you. So he said, these signs will follow them that believe. And the first sign was cast out devils. Wow. Cast out devils. You know, there's a lot of devils that need to be cast out. We need to start with the politicians. Probably in the White House. You know, we need to work on the resident and the vice resident. Y'all get that in a few minutes. I said resident and vice resident. And your gubernatorial candidates here. What do they believe? What do they stand for? How could you vote for anybody that is against God? Hello, church. I don't care what color we are. Are we going to vote Bible? Or are we going to vote something else? And thank God for pastors that are not afraid to stand up and say what's right, what's wrong. I mean, we go some places, they don't want us to say stuff like this. But the Bible says that the government shall be upon his shoulders. Where are the shoulders? In the body, right? Well, who is supposed to direct the body? Well, Jesus, of course, but the fivefold ministry. And that's all I got to say about that. That's Forrest Gump, if you don't. Let me read this to you from Matthew 28, 18, 19, out of the Passion Translation. You can see it in the New King James. But Matthew 28, 18, and 19, this is the Passion Translation. It said, then Jesus came close to them and said, all authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority. Woo! How much clearer can that be? You know, King James says go and that's all. But he says now go in my authority. See, because we have his faith. And now he says we have his authority to cast out devils. Man, I'm telling you, there are a lot of demon-possessed people out there and they have prominent places. In some of the third world countries, the demon-possessed people will throw themselves in the floor and start slithering like a snake with their tongue shooting out. Here in America, they inhabit politicianal places. And we need to get them out. And we can use the faith and the prayer that God has given us to get them out. We don't need a devil ruling over us. Amen. Amen? He said, go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You know, the pastor mentioned, we went to the Czech Republic. It was Czechoslovakia. We first went, and then they had the Velvet Revolution in 93. But we first went in 89, and communism had just fallen in Berlin. It began to topple into the eastern countries. I mean, we got there, you talk to people, and they'd do this. They wouldn't look you in the eye. Why? Communism, government control, putting people in a box, controlling people. And those in hierarchy places, they could do whatever they wanted to, and the rest of the people were just peons. Yeah. in their sight. Socialism is communism in a suit and tie. If you want to pay, was it 17 to 27% of your income right off the top, then vote for somebody. Huh? Oh, that's right, isn't it? It's about 35 to 55, sometimes 60%, depending on what nation you're in. You pay that right off the top. And then everything has a 22% value added tax. But everything's free, Brother Larry. Well, where do you think they get all the money to give you stuff free? They take it from you and don't give you a chance to have any say-so over it. That's what they want to push here. That's what socialism is. See, we've lived under it. We know what we're talking about. This is not something that we just read and we're telling you about. We lived there for 18 years. Oh, and well, I won't go there anymore. I believe you got the best part of it there. Verse 18. And you know, this wokeism stuff. Oh, yeah, you can decide what you are. No, you can't. God made you a sex, right. A man or a woman. And the devil wants to come in and try to confuse people, tell them, well, you know. No. Like I said, God created Adam and Eve.
Right. Amen.
There's only two sexes.
Right.
And that's a male and female. Just think about this. Two males cannot produce a child without a female's help. Two females cannot produce a child without a male's help. So where would they be if in the beginning God had made Adam and Steve? That would have been the end of the human race. Enough said. Anyway, verse 18. See, we're talking about using this authority that Jesus has given us and this commandment that Jesus gave us to go. He said they'll lay hands on the sick and maybe something will happen. You just never know, because we don't know what God wants to do.
No, they will recover.
Huh? Well, now that's what somebody might think or say. See, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It's what the Bible says. Come on now. The Bible says we'll lay hands on the sick, and what happens?
They will recover.
They what? Excuse me, are you reading that properly? They'll do what?
Recover.
Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. Look at your hands. The power of God resides in your hands, and upon this command, if you'll lay your hands on the sick, the Bible says they will recover.
Amen.
But you got to believe it.
Amen.
He doesn't say lay your hands on them and hope something happens. You might as well not. You're wasting your time and their time. But he said these signs will follow who? Who? Are you a believer? Come on now, are you a believer?
Yes.
Is Jesus Christ your Lord?
Yes.
Now, we're not even talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit yet, because the Holy Spirit had not come at this point in time. They'd not been to the upper room yet.
Right.
This is just using that supernatural faith that God has given us from hearing His Word. See, the power is in the Word. If you're a believer, the power of God is in your hands. Come on now. I said the power of God is in your hands. And if you'll lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. See, you got to be adamant about this. Well, Brother Larry, what happens if nothing happens? Next. I don't know why some things happen and some things don't, but I'm not going to question the Word of God.
Right.
Come on. I'm going to put it into operation, and if something doesn't happen the way I think, sometimes my thinking could be wrong, I'm not going to question it. Because I'm a believer, not a doubter. There's no room for doubt. See, the reason some people don't lay hands on the sick, there's doubt involved. What's going to happen? See, you think more, I'm going to say this, you think more about yourself than you do doing God's word. Ooh. Boy, he stepped on my toes real big. I said, I'll have a prayer line. Come on. See, I'm going to make you mad or glad this morning. I'm here to wake you up. Come on. We've got the same kind of faith that our Lord Jesus Christ had. We got it from hearing the Word of God, that same spirit of faith, and we need to use it. And just like when I was a weightlifter, the more I exercise and the more weights I put on, the stronger my muscles. The more you lay hands on people and the more you exercise this God-given faith that you have, the greater the things you'll see. I hadn't seen any arms or legs grow on yet, but I'm going to. We prayed for a man in Cedar Rapids, had a little hand coming out of his shoulder. And I highly expected that arm to grow out, shoot out. Now I've seen legs grow out about like this. But I want to see somebody with no leg or no arm or no hand. Jesus saw it, didn't he? Huh? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. I won't get ahead of myself. Come on, church. Let's wake up! My goodness. Have you ever read them? I'm not going to. The vision that with the glory coming out of the sky. What's the guy's name? Help me, Angela. He's a missionary. Hicks. Tommy Hicks. Whew. Maybe we need to read that sometime about the glory of God coming on the body of Christ in this end time. I'm telling you, folks, we've got our toes in the greatest revival this earth has ever seen. And the body of Christ, it's time for the body of Christ to wake up and start acting like their big brother. Amen. And seeing these things. Seeing these things. Said these signs will follow us, right? Casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. We were in the Czech Republic. Our landlords was Yarda, that was his name, in Mirka. And Yarda came to me one day and he was highly distraught. And I said, Yarda, what's wrong? He said, well, Mirka's in the hospital. And she has cancer. And the doctor says she's got about 6 months to live. Now, he proclaimed to be an atheist. I said, Yarda, could we go pray for Mirka? Guess what the atheist said? Yes. See, when there is no hope in this world, and we give people just a little glimmer of hope. So anyway, long story short, we went to the hospital and I asked her to read Mark 16, 15 to the end of the chapter. She read it in her Czech Bible. And she said something. She says, but I don't believe. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I was taught a lesson that day. See, I thought the Bible said that believers will lay hands on sick believers and the sick believers will be healed. But the Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I said, by the Holy Ghost, well, you don't have to believe. That was a revelation. You don't have to believe. The Bible says, see, we're going on the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible says the believers, I said, Angela and I qualify, will lay hands on the sick. I said, you qualify. All we need is your permission. Come on now, if that won't put a pep in your step, You need to come up here and get saved. All we need is their permission. Now, if you say, can I minister to you the healing power of God? Can I lay hands on you? And they say no. Well, you know, there's no sense. Unless the gift of faith comes on you. But that's another lesson for another time. But anyway, and the long story short, she's still alive today.
Praise God.
We did and God did. If you do, God will. Come on. If you'll act like a believer, if you'll act like a son of daughter of Almighty God, God will back you up.
Amen.
Well, where is that, Brother Larry? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 20. It said, they went out and they preached everywhere. Now, you don't have to preach like me. You can be calm and reserved. It's just as effective. But this is just me. I was wild when I was a drug addict, and I'm wild about God now.
Hallelujah.
I mean, there's no sense in changing my wildness.
Yeah.
Now I've just focused it on something that'll do good.
Yeah.
They went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. He didn't say He made them do it. He worked with them.
Amen.
The Lord will work with you. The Lord working with them, confirming Reader's Digest.
The Word.
Huh? What did He confirm? What did He confirm? God has obligated Himself to confirm His Word.
Amen.
And if you give people His Word, He will confirm it. Because God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent or change His mind. Has He not said it? Will He not cause it to come to pass? Yes. And His Word coming out of your mouth is just as powerful as when He spoke it Himself. Woo! You just got to be bold. I said you just got to be bold. You know, when they were threatened and told not to preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus in Acts chapter 4, they didn't go back to their own company and say, Lord, teach us how to be calm and conservative and conform to their ways. No, they said, Lord, give us boldness to preach your word. Why? Because they knew that God would confirm His word to preach your word and that you would stretch forth your hand. God stretches forth His hand inside of your hand when you put it on people. Confirm His word with signs following. I said the church started in fire. It's time for us to get fired up again. Come on. It's time to get fired up again. You know, sometimes Christians spend so much time on TikTok and Yahoo and Facebook. Some of this stuff is really good because you can get the gospel out in it. Hey, did y'all hear about the guy, the billionaire that bought Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter? Y'all hadn't heard that? You're going to call it you twit face. That's just a joke. Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, we call him Dad. He heard about this farmer and had marvelous healings and miracles. And Brother Hagin always wanted an opportunity to get to talk to this guy. So he met him one time. Because, I mean, people would come in hordes to this guy. He prayed for one person, they got healed. And the next thing you know, he told somebody and they told somebody else, and there's people coming to him all the time, just an old farmer. And Brother Hagin asked him, he says, well, what do you attribute all of these healings and miracles that operate through you? He says, do you have a special anointing on your life? And the old farmer says, well, if I do, I don't know it. He says, well, do you have the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life? He says, well, if I do, I don't know it. He says, well, how do you see all these healings and miracles? He said, well, I just read Mark 16 one day. And it said believers would lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. He said, I started doing it and I started seeing this stuff happen. See, the gospel is simple, my brothers and sisters. Let's don't make it complicated or difficult.
Amen. Amen. That's good preaching.
Lay hands on the sick. We were preaching, we talked about this. We taught in an underground Bible school with Ray Safa and our pastor. And anyway, we were teaching along these lines. And it was teaching on prayer, and I taught on faith for miracles. And she's taught on some other stuff, authority of the believer. And this little 15-year-old girl, she got filled. Huh? Oh, we were in Turkey. Thank you. I got a good helper here. And we were ministering to Iranians. They had brought all these Iranians in. They could come to Turkey, but we couldn't go into Iran. So anyway, she gets filled with the Holy Spirit about Tuesday or Wednesday. She just came to this Christian camp with her mom and dad. And so we're teaching along these lines. And Friday, the Lord said, I want you to demonstrate. So Angela and I prayed for a couple people, and instantly, just like that, they got healed. And so, and I forgot to tell this part. There was a little lady that had come in, maybe Wednesday, and she's in a burqa. You know, that's the black thing that the Muslims have to wear. All you could see is her face and her hands. And we thought, you know, she's probably a new Christian, and she doesn't know that she doesn't have to wear this stuff anymore. But she came to see her son because her son came in from Iran. She lived in Turkey. Anyway, long story short, she came forward. And I called on this little 15-year-old girl. And I said, you minister to her. And she told us that she had had an operation in Iran 30 years prior to that. And she had pain in her back for 30 years. And this little girl laid hands on her, and just like that, instantly, the pain left. And she could stand up straight. And I said, well, go do something you couldn't do. So she went out the back door. We were on the second floor. And she said, I could not walk up and down the steps without the students helping me. So I said, well, go check it out. So she went to the back door, walked down the steps, back up the steps, all by herself. And she came in that door with her hands raised. Now, when nobody told her she had to raise her hands. Yeah. And she was saying something in Farsi, which is the Iranian, Iraqi language. And we asked our interpreter, what's she saying? She says, now I want to receive the Jesus to heal me. Yes. Woo! Yes. Glory to God. Yes. See, people don't have to be saved. All we need from them is our permission. We're the believers. We have the power of God in our hands. We have the boldness of God. We have the faith of God. Use our God-given gifts on behalf of others. And that woman wanted to receive Jesus that healed her. I'm talking about power evangelism this morning. And you don't have to act like me. Like I said, you can be calm. The Word of God will work for you if you're just monotone. Because there's power in the Word, not power in the way it comes out. Turn with me. I've got a bunch of examples. I won't go into those because we're getting, it's 11:30. How many people give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. Woo, I can take about another hour here. Turn with me to John 14:12. Now I ask you if you're a believer, right? Angela, would you hand me that water on the floor, please? Jesus said, most assuredly, old King James says, verily, verily, if you believe on me, and I ask you, you raise your hand, You're a believer, right? Yeah. So does this verse apply to you? Excuse me. I didn't hear you. Does this verse apply to you? It says, the works I do, what did Jesus do? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Right? Is that right? Come on, this is an open book test. He said, he who believes on me, the works I do, what will happen? You just never know. Just never know. Maybe, maybe not. No. What's it say? If you believe on me, the works I did, come on. The healings that Jesus saw, the miracles that Jesus saw, will happen through us. Is that what the Bible says? That's Bible, isn't it? Now, it's not the old King's English. Thank God I'll get the these and the thouses and the heareth and the cometh all tongue-tied up. But he said, greater works. Now, I don't, you know, some people say, well, what are the greater works? Don't be so concerned about the greater works. Let's just work on the works first. And then after we see the works through us, then maybe we'll see some greater stuff. Who will do also? Excuse me? Now, Pastor, you need to... This is for the congregation. Who? I know you are. Who? Who? What's God... Who's God going to be using this verse? Who's God going to use in Mark 16? The believers. But see... We've got this thinking. We've got this idea that Jesus has got this special kind of faith and this special kind of anointing. And Jesus says, okay, I'm going to take my special kind of faith, my special kind of anointing, my combine, if you will, faith, ability, and I'm going to go out here in this 10-acre field and I'm going to clear it with my combine faith. And my special kind of faith and my special kind of ability. And I'm going to give you this. And I want you to go out there and do that in the same amount of time I did. See, that's thinking, right, isn't it?
Amen.
See, we got to think. We have to have Bible thinking. Jesus would not give us a pocket knife and tell us to do what he did with a combine.
Right.
Come on now. Thank you, brother. Does that help you?
Yeah.
I hope it does. Man, it opened my eyes when I saw that. I thought I was radical, but this is one of the first scriptures God ever revealed to me. And it, we say in Alabama, it rent me. Y'all say that here? It rent me in a good way. It rent me for the gospel. It ruined me that I cannot.
Amen.
I cannot do anything but this.
Amen.
And I cannot do anything but encourage you to do this. Like I said, I'm here to make you mad or glad. But I believe you're getting glad this morning.
Amen.
I believe some of you are going to start taking these hands that God has given you that's full of his power and the word of God that comes out of your mouth. Put it to work on behalf of others. I'll close with this verse. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. How? According to the power that works in God? According to the power that works in Jesus? In us. Now you got to go back into the context. He's talking about faith and love. We got the God kind of love on the inside of us if we just act on it. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. It's not a different kind of love. We can love some of these people we've been talking about. I'm guilty. You know, sometimes I get so aggravated, some of this stuff, I mean, even Christian stuff, that all this, these wrong-thinking people, I'm trying to be nice, want to push down our throats. You know, they use COVID to shut the church down. And they did to a certain extent in some places, California, Canada. They just now opened. You don't have to have a vaccine to get in and out of Canada anymore. So thank God now we can go back to Canada and preach. But it's according to God's kind of love in us and God's kind of faith in us. And if you'll take the kind of love that God has put in our heart and the kind of faith that God has put in our heart, in our hands, in our mouth, we'll set people free. I'm so glad for that man that used to be a drug dealer with me. Love me enough to show me some of the things that I've shown you this morning.
Wow.
July 6, 1983, I got set free. You don't know what, maybe some of you do, you don't know what it's like. Not just to have a monkey, but you've got an ape in the tribe with him on your back. Driven to be evil and do evil. And then all of a sudden you're totally free and the monkey, the tribe, the ape is all gone. And now you can see the truth of God's word. I can't hold back.
Amen.
And you shouldn't either. That's why I've unleashed on you this morning. I want to impart into you this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Have you got that, Pastor? So rise up. Rise up and take my word. Rise up and operate in the power of my spirit and do these things that you've seen in my word, because these people that have been bound for so many years, you are their savior. You are the thing that can set them free. My sons and my daughters, it's time to rise up and take your place. It's time to rise up and be the church that I started in the book of Acts. It's time to rise up and set this nation free. And not only this nation, other nations, other nations, other nations. Let's not just stop at this nation. Let's take the world for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's take our God-given faith and work in the area of healings and miracles. You know, in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he was our substitute. But in his life and ministry, he was our example. According to that verse we just read in Mark 16. Let me just share two more verses with you. Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, you just never know what's going to happen.
All things are possible.
Huh?
All things are possible.
Excuse me? Is that what the Bible says?
Yes.
Then it's true.
Amen.
See, the Bible is the only truth. When we went to these eastern countries, we told the people, we're not here to teach you the American customs or American religion. We're here to teach you the Bible. And we don't want you to believe anything we tell you unless we can show it to you in the Word of God. Because if I can show it to you in the Word of God and you'll act on it, you'll believe it, you can be just as successful as anybody else in the world. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus was our substitute in sin. He bore upon him your sins, my sins, the sins of the world, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Whew. I like to say it this way. Jesus became everything I was so I could be everything he is. That's radical, Brother Larry. Yes, it is. But it's Bible. I said it's Bible. See, it's time for the church to get rid of our stinking thinking and wondering what's going to happen when we obey God's word. I'll tell you what's going to happen if you'll be adamant about obeying God's word. You'll see the same results that Jesus saw. I said, you'll see the same results that Jesus saw. I said, you'll see the same results that Jesus saw. And if you can't believe this stuff, then throw it away and live like the devil like you used to. I mean, if this is not true, my brothers and sisters, how can you accept and believe anything else? Jesus wants to finish his ministry through the church. That's you and me. I read this one time and I had to write it down. It said, I'm obligated to heaven to produce the results that Jesus died and paid for. I live with no option.